says 133, but for the record, it's 130. 133, all present except for Ms. Friedenrich, and we don't expect her to be here. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, I'd like to call this meeting to order on Thursday, June 12th. And first order of business is to approve the minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'll second.
Any discussion, additions, deletions? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes adopted. All right, we have, by the way, before we get to the next and the only item that we have today, I want to thank Ms. Lester and the county staff for listening to us last time. It was a delight to have all of the documents. It appeared to be very complete. They were given to us timely and allowed us to review them a little more thoroughly. So we very much appreciate the cooperation from staff. And I hope the minutes reflect that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. With that, we're going to have the agenda item approval of successor agency to the Orange County Development Agency Neighborhood Development and Preservation Project, tax allocation refunding bonds, issue of 2014, and who shall present.
Good afternoon, Chair Hughes. This is Suzanne Lester from CEO Public Finance. Good afternoon, committee members.
Good afternoon.
Today, the CEO's office is requesting the Public Finance Advisory Committee approve the issuance of the successor agency to the Orange County Development Agency Neighborhood Development and Preservation Project tax allocation bonds, refunding bonds, issue of 2014. On December 19th, 2013, the successor agency oversight board directed staff to proceed with refunding the 2001 NDAP, the Neighborhood Development and Preservation Project, better known as NDAP, tax allocation bonds. On January 9th, 2014, and February 4th, 2014, a PFAC and the Board of Supervisors respectively approved the concept and the financing team for refunding the 2001 NDAP bonds. The successor agency will refund the current outstanding portion of the Series 2001 bonds, and the bonds are secured by a pledge of property tax revenues from the NDAP project area. The 2014 bonds will be issued in an amount not to exceed $16 million, and the final maturity date will continue to be the same, which is September 1st, 2022. The 2014 bonds will be sold directly to Compass Mortgage Corporation. The refunding bonds meet the tests required by redevelopment dissolution law. The refunding bonds provide for interest rate savings. The total of the principal and interest of the refunding bonds will not exceed the principal and interest of the current bonds to be refunded. The bonds will be a fixed interest rate, and there is no acceleration of payment. These are all requirements pursuant to the redevelopment dissolution law. Yesterday, I sent your committee a memo based on my phone conversation with committee member Friedenrich, who is not here today, providing detail about how staff came to recommend the private placement and BBVA Compass Bank. Just to summarize for the record, subsequent to receiving approval to proceed with the refunding from your committee and the County Board of Supervisors, our financing consultants solicited bids from 20 banks, including Bank of America, Bank of New York, JP Morgan Chase, State Street Bank, Union Bank, US Bank, and the county's bank, Wells Fargo. 15 banks were either not responded that they were not interested or did not provide a response at all. Two banks expressed interest but did not end up providing a response or a bid. Three banks provided a bid, with BBVA Compass at 2.75% being the lowest bid. Next.
I know we reached out to, you said 15 of the larger banks. Did you get any inquiry back from them why they chose not to bid on this it sounds like all of the really major brands, the banks that we do business with, weren't interested.
My understanding is this is kind of a niche financing, and it didn't meet underwriting criteria that these banks had. I believe Holly Vocal from Stifel could provide a little bit more detail on that front if you would like.
Sure.
I think it's important because we refer to all the bank.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Holly Vocal with Stifel. We're serving as the placement agent on the financing. For the banks that were not interested, the main reasons they provided us were that, one, they weren't approving redevelopment type credits, that they were more interested in general fund or enterprise utility type credits. Second, the financing was relatively small. They were looking at deals closer to 25 to 50 million. Another reason was that they would require an additional banking relationship with the county if they were to provide a bid.
Thank you.
Next, after receiving the bids, Stifel, Holly and her team, the selected underwriter, compared the private placement bid to a public offering estimate based on market conditions. The result yielded more savings with the private placement bid. The dollar savings difference with the private placement was about $50,000 to the better. With that information, the finance team proceeded with the private placement. As the finance team proceeded to prepare the financial analysis of the project area and the financing documents, we've continued to monitor the market conditions, and market conditions have remained pretty stable. Recently, though, we received information that the current market conditions would provide more savings with the public offering, so that we've had a recent shift. Currently, about $140,000 to the better over the life of the refunding, or approximately $15,000 per year. And just to put that into perspective, the county receives about 5.5% of that, and so the county's receipt of that difference would be about $7,500 over the remaining life of the bonds. We continue to recommend proceeding with the private placement. Changing course at this point would delay the transaction about 3 months. With that, there's also increased risk that conditions will change again unfavorably, and we do anticipate that in the fall, supply is likely to increase when the state comes to market with its annual financing. The proposed financing provides for cumulative savings of $1.3 million over the life of the bonds, which equate to $1.1 million MPV, or 7.2%. This is well over the 5% threshold that the county prefers to see.
Is it my understanding that by going with the private, we'll have a savings of $50,000? There's a $90,000 difference if we go with the public?
So it would be
140 to 50?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Subject to your committee's approval of this item, the next steps would be to request approval from the Board of Supervisors on June 17, 2014, and the approval from the Successor Agency Oversight Board on June 19, 2014. Then we would submit for approval to the State Department of Finance. The finance team would expect to issue the bonds in August 2014. At this time, county staff and other members of the finance team are available to answer additional questions that you might have.
I believe, Mr. Moore, you have a question.
I do.
Concerning the documents.
Under the document, I don't have a page number, the bond purchase contract. If you'll turn to page 6.
And 7.
And 7. Down to O. During the last 5 years of the County of Orange, and certain of its related entities, including agencies, have failed to comply in certain respects with continuing disclosure obligations relating to outstanding bond indebtedness. More specifically, as to the agency, for some bonds outstanding in some years, the agency failed to file the financial and operating data on a timely basis. In almost every case, the report was filed by April 1st, a date which was later than 270 days from the end of the county's fiscal year. In one case, certain financial data for prior bonds was filed June 1st, 2 months late. And it goes on, and we don't need to read the whole thing. My question is, has this been rectified?
Committee Member Moore, yes, this has been rectified. As part of our public offerings in the fall, which would have been the Santa Ana Heights refunding and the two Ladera Ranch refundings, we conducted a five-year review. We hired a firm called Applied Best Practices to conduct the review of the last 5 years of continuing disclosure filings that the county has undertaken, and the results showed that we did indeed have some continuing disclosure violations, which we are then required to disclose in public offerings for the next 5 years, and we are also disclosing it here in this private placement.
Has there been a public disclosure of this?
There's been a public disclosure in our offering documents, in our offering documents this fall.
May I inquire of County Council what the effect of the failure to disclose is, the potential?
Well, if the SEC could conduct an audit, and depending on the materiality of what was failed to disclose, could potentially require an investigation inquiry by the SEC. And then the parties would presumably negotiate some kind of settlement. But the nature of that, I couldn't really speak to the result of what something like that could happen. What would be the result of some kind of inquiry or settlement with the SEC?
So
there's new, you could, there could be fines. There could be, you know, some sort of penalties imposed on the county. The settlement presumably would require the county not to commit those violations in the future.
May I inquire of committee member Ms. Grimes? Does internal audit have their finger on this?
I believe this item was identified by staff and addressed by staff. I really couldn't speak to internal audit's involvement. The identification of the issue didn't come through that office, so I'm really not certain. Maybe Suzanne could speak to that. Frank?
So if I could back up with permission of the chair. What happened was, if I could bring you through the process for how we discovered these non-compliance items, when we first, when I came in and assumed the position of the chief financial officer, and we hired Ms. Lester back, I think it was May of last year, one of the first things that I asked her to do was to conduct a self-assessment of her operation. Particularly, I did ask her to look at continuing disclosure. And the only reason why I asked of that was, 20 years ago, when I worked in public finance accounting, I remember there was a challenge with continuing disclosure. So I wanted to make sure that whatever the issues were, that we identified them and addressed them right away. So that's a process that began and concluded, I think November of last year. And after we identified all the non-compliance items, we moved forward and we addressed all of them. In addition to that, now that we've identified that there are some non-compliance, we wanted to make sure that we had additional discussions with internal audit, that there was another level of safety review. So as part of the Audit Oversight Committee, we did reach out to internal audit. I've had communications with them about 2 weeks ago, and they're including a review of continuing disclosure as a part of their audit plan. So that's something that we reached out to internal audit and asked for inclusion of. So my understanding is beginning this fiscal year, and then we haven't determined a term for how routine it would be, but I would think no less than once every several years, they would go back and validate that we're continuing to meet all those disclosure requirements. In addition to that, Suzanne and Public Finance is contracted with a consultant to help us review our existing continuing disclosure process and policies, make recommendations for how to improve that, and we plan to implement all the recommendations that come out of that.
My apologies for referring to you by your first name in the meeting.
Oh, that's okay.
So you were on top of it and you found the issue. Then our next question would be, what is going to happen with this vis-a-vis the board?
We've had discussions with our board, so they are aware of the prior violations, and really all we can do is, number one, fix them, which we have. Number two, disclose them fully, which we have. And now we're working on ensuring that it never happens again.
Does the Board of Supervisors have to take action?
I'll defer to County Council.
Chairwoman, are you referring to the initiative?
I'm referring to, I understand there's a disclosure violation and that we're going to have to take steps to notify whoever the appropriate body is. Does the Board of Supervisors do that, or who initiates rectifying this with the SEC or any other appropriate agency?
On its own, I do not believe that the county has to self-report any continuing disclosure missing filings. Now, if what you're referring to is what we spoke about earlier in terms of the initiative, then that is something that staff and our office are monitoring, we're evaluating, and we're looking into those types of issues, and we are briefing the board on the initiative.
Would you please explain to our board what the initiative is?
Sure. Earlier this year, I believe it was March, the SEC launched an initiative where they have asked public agencies who issue debt to self-report any potential continuing disclosure violations that they may have. The impetus of this initiative was that there was a belief that there's widespread violations among municipal issuers about their continuing disclosure obligations. And so what the SEC is looking at is not the mistakes of not filing on time or missing filings. What they're looking at is, what did your official statement say about what you were doing regarding your continuing disclosure obligations? Now, the deadline to self-report is in September 9th. And what they have, their offer to municipal issuers is that if you self-report, we will enter into a settlement agreement with you. You will, I believe they've capped the fines, or no monetary fines, that's right, for the municipal issuers. But they've also made the same offer to underwriters. And they have capped the fines for underwriters. I believe it's $500,000. Now, what this does is create a prisoner's dilemma between underwriters and municipal issuers, because they both have a duty now or an opportunity to self-report. So it is something that we're monitoring. We are reviewing the data because although the window here is what did we say within the last 5 years in our official statements.
Do you have a reference on the SEC document that you're talking about?
You know, I would be happy to provide a link.
Could you do that?
Sure, because it is available on the SEC website where they spell out the offer in its entirety and what's involved. And so a lot of issuers are doing what we're doing right now, and that is evaluating, collecting data, and trying to determine what our recommendation is going to be to the board.
Are you saying there's a dilemma if the underwriter doesn't report and we do?
That's actually how the SEC has set it up. So they're encouraging underwriters and issuers to at least be in communication, because you can imagine a situation where we report something and they don't, or vice versa. So they're built in an incentive, obviously, for all parties to report any potential violations.
Well, why would the
what do we care about the underwriters?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Hammond.
Why would the underwriters be obligated on continuing disclosures?
Well, they actually are the ones that have the legal obligation and the duty to do due diligence and to ensure that we have been in compliance with our continuing disclosure obligations. They're the ones that are regulated by the rules and regulations regarding in securities law to ensure that we have done our due diligence and that we have been in compliance.
But that's for due diligence on past and history. Going forward, the underwriters are not responsible for us failing to disclose.
Yeah, they are.
They are?
In any transaction that we have and they're at the table with us, they have to be satisfied that we have been in compliance.
Forever?
For every transaction.
For the life of the bonds? In other words,
they're looking at what our how we've been compliant within the last 5 years.
Historically, but going forward, 5 years. The underwriters aren't liable for us failing to disclose.
Well, they would be. If there's an obligation now, there'd be an obligation tomorrow.
Well, but if next year we fail to properly disclose, you're telling me the underwriter has liability for that?
I think only if we issue some more bonds, they would have.
Right.
Okay,
back.
So it's disclosure when you do the offering.
That's right.
Okay, I wasn't clear. All right, thank you.
Okay, well, not wanting to beat a dead horse, because I don't think this horse is dead yet. If you're investigating, Mr. Kim, the failure to disclose, and if it's an underwriter responsibility conjointly with us, with the county, do we have a list of those underwriters that we may want to consider when we're on future issuances of who has watched the store a little more closely than others?
I mean, that is part of the requirement, is to identify all of the underwriters and our business partners or the officers at the time that those official statements were issued.
So how does the PFAC board get that? Because we have to consider the underwriters and future issuances. It'd sure be nice to know who they are. How do we do that?
Well, as I mentioned, we're still in the process of gathering the information to go to the board. We anticipate, obviously, that the board will make some decision before the September deadline. And I think what might be appropriate then, after the board has made its decision, that we can bring forward some information to this committee.
Agreed.
No, well, if you're going to bring any issuances before us, we're going to, I would be asking, are the underwriters that we're proposing on that list? Am I the only one who feels that way, or do we have any comments from the board members?
If I might add, just looking at what we have in the pipeline, right, and scheduled, I can say that we don't have any additional financings in the pipeline this summer.
Okay. Well, that handles that one.
Okay.
But, may I?
Yes.
But trying to summarize this conversation, do I understand from Mr. Kim that these things have been discovered and you have put in place, I'm looking at paragraphs Roman number six, that to ensure ongoing compliance, the agency have conducted a review, as you described, Mr. Kim, is that right? And to your best of your knowledge, are you current on all of your filings past?
Yes.
Today you are?
Yes. So in fact, the disclosure that you see on page 6 and 7, that is our full disclosure that based on all the information that we know, based on the review that was conducted as part of our initial self-assessment.
Okay.
But that's internally We have not self-reported at this point.
We have not self-reported at this time.
And the Board of Supervisors will then decide whether or not they're going to self-report?
Yes, we're having those conversations with the board.
Do we have anybody have a recommendation as to whether or not that PFAC wants to make a recommendation? That'd probably be a very good idea.
Well, it seems to me that our job is to flush out these issues. Exactly. And assuming that the minutes are done properly and assuming that the supervisors read the minutes or care what PFAC does, I would say that would be adequate. Assuming that the minutes are correct or and complete.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure our staff will take that direction.
We will ensure that the minutes reflect the actions and the conversation.
Mr. Rodecker, any comments?
Just one, page 10, paragraph H.
Is that of the bond purchase agreement, or is
it's,
that?
It's just a couple pages after.
Yeah.
Right.
Page 6, the one we were reviewing. It seems to indicate that there's an opinion that we're not in breach or under default, mm-hmm. or anything like that. I just want to make sure I'm reading that clearly. And is that because the disclosures have been made now, or is it because?
It happened.
Chair and members of the committee, Kurt Yeager on bond counsel with Stradling, Yaka, Carlson, and Routh. This representation speaks to compliance with obligations, the failure to comply with which would impair your ability to enter into or perform your obligations under the placement with Compass Bank. The disclosure issues that you've just been discussing are in fact being disclosed to Compass Bank. But they also don't affect your legal ability to sell the bonds to Compass Bank or enter into that indenture that will provide for the payment of the NDAP debt service to the bank. So the representation is appropriate and is limited to matters that would affect those transactions. But if there was any concern, the reason that disclosure is in here, even though this is a private placement with Compass Bank, you're not entering into a continuing disclosure undertaking with Compass Bank that is governed by Rule 15C212 of the securities laws, is the interest of staff and the county in being transparent with respect to these issues. And so we have provided the full disclosure with respect to this, notwithstanding that it doesn't speak to the obligations that are directly running to the bank.
Have you advised the board or anyone else as far as the self-disclosure, what your opinion is?
Not yet. This matter's just in process, but I believe it's the intention of Suzanne's group that will occur. Fair statement?
Yes.
Any other
questions? I have. I'd like to wander off into new territory if we're through with this issue.
Yes.
Okay. Is that right with you?
We're going to new territory.
All right.
Pave the way.
First off, you keep referring to Compass Bank. It says Compass Mortgage Corporation. Is this a bank or just a mortgage company?
It's a BBVA Compass Bank, but perhaps Jason Paletta or James Manning would speak to the legal structure of the Compass Mortgage Corporation for this transaction.
Good afternoon, committee. I'm James Manning with BBVA Compass Bank. BBVA Compass is headquartered out of Birmingham. They're about a $71 billion bank.
Bank? Commercial bank.
Commercial bank that operate throughout the Sun Belt region. Fairly new to California. Their entrance into California was with the purchase of the failed Guarantee Bank about 5 years ago. As far as Compass Mortgage Corporation, so when banks purchase private placements that are non-bank qualified, They funded into a subsidiary of the bank for tax treatment purposes. Compass Mortgage Corporation is that subsidiary in which we will be purchasing these bonds.
And you feel these are reliable people?
That's him.
He is the people.
He's the people.
Are you talking about the bank or the employees of the bank? Yeah.
And how large a subsidiary is the mortgage company? What kind of assets do they have?
You know, I'm not entirely sure, but just in the last 3 years, we purchased probably $500 million in investments into that entity. But I don't know the total size of the entity.
So you've committed, at this point, you're committed to this?
We are, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question, Ms. Lester. Who is on the oversight board?
The oversight board is made up of appointees of the Board of Supervisors, an appointee of the K through 12 school districts, but through the chancellor, community college districts, flood control district, which I believe is the biggest special district, the largest special district, has a representative, and an employee of the successor agency.
So do they have, what is their role? Do they have a fiduciary role? Are they responsible for this underwriting? Or what is their role in this?
Their role is to oversee the dissolution of the redevelopment agency. And as part of that is disposing of assets and as part of that providing. This refunding would fall under that purview.
Okay. So we don't, these people are, I didn't see them identified anywhere in the document, so is that not relevant?
Well, I don't want to say that. you know, I could provide.
Oh, I don't, that's, no, names. I was just curious about the structure, that's all how. Did they, as a board, come, or advisory board, oversight board, did they come and recommend this deal to you? Or did you do it yourself? Or your department do it yourself?
The oversight board directed that we proceed with the refunding. And so we've undertaken the refunding. We'll be presenting to the oversight board next Thursday, requesting their approval.
Is your answer that they came to you and wanted to refinance?
Yes.
Okay. Next question I have is of the $16 million that is out there, and thank you, by the way, for providing this list, this schedule of where the money's been spent, the $26 million that we asked for. And apparently that $26 million has come from the incremental tax revenues, and that's profit, so to speak, that you're able to invest in Orange, whatever it's called, and all these other things?
Committee Member Hammond, the $26 million represents the bond proceeds.
Right.
So the bonds are issued, and those proceeds are used on eligible projects. Now, the property tax increment that is received is what's used at this point, to pay the debt. Now, prior to redevelopment dissolution, that increment could have been used to pay for additional identified projects in the project area, but once the law passed to dissolve redevelopment, that property tax may only be used to complete legally enforceable obligations at the time and to pay any remaining legal debts.
Now, of the $16 million that is going out, or we're refinancing or refunding, is any portion of that in secured loans to developers, or?
No.
It's all unsecured.
The $16 million is purely refinancing the existing bond debt, the original bonds.
Okay.
2001 bonds.
Okay, which will be retired based on that schedule that I saw somewhere, and but there's no well, did this agency lend money or give tax-free loans to any developers or what have you in this whole process of doing any of this stuff?
No, they did not.
All right. So it's totally unsecured, so to speak, except for the incremental tax revenue. I'll say it again. In other words, the there is no collateral for this except for the incremental tax revenue that we receive.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
It's going to wander into any other territory.
No, no, that's kind of, this is very, there's a lot to this.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, I have a question. Yes. It might be in the neighborhood.
You're the troublemaker.
I know I am. Mr. Kim, have you figured out a tool yet that you're going to go forward to let these people know that their taxes are being reduced by this refunding?
Yes, I believe the treasurer's office intends to include a notification, like a memo incorporated with property tax bills. I think we had to get over a county council question, but I think that's been addressed. I don't know if you have any updates on that, Angie or Suzanne.
And this is to county council. We were just discussing the cost of that, of an insert, and ensuring that that was a legal expenditure.
Right, because you would have some issues at county councils. Andrew Duthrie, you'd have some issues with the mass mailing. So we'd have to get, there's a mass mailing prohibition, so we'd have to
work. I thought we were
going
to include them in the tax bills. That's what we originally said, that just
precisely, though, there's certain regulations involved in that. You can't send out on public expense. There's a lot of rules and regulations about the letterhead, and because she's an elected official. But it's something that I personally haven't been involved in at this time. But once we get around those issues, I'll be happy to assist. I just haven't been involved at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know if I framed it properly, but I think there were some restrictions so that it couldn't go out under a treasurer letterhead,
right,
or a specific board office letterhead that said, you know, hey, look, here's what the county did. Isn't it wonderful? And then there could be a perception that we're using it for political purposes. So it had to be very...
How about a slip of paper instead?
Basically,
I think,
right,
if it was just a generic county letterhead.
Right. Exactly.
So I think those were the last issues that we were working out with council. But from a technical perspective, I believe the treasurer has already identified that she could do it, and that we have enough resources to make that happen.
Thank you.
We can send them an anonymous note.
Yeah, exactly. All they care about is the savings.
where are we going with this? Okay. Any further comments from the board? Do we? Well, there you go.
Not
again.
No, I thank you.
He took a breath. Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. That leaves us, are there any comments from the public or any further items that need to come before us today? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned. And again, thank you to staff for such a great job.
Right.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks for being.
This had come up in the meeting. We identified, we just wanted to make sure we were following.